Good morning. It is my joy to minister to you the Word of God. And today I will be speaking on Paul, Transformed for Faithful Ministry, Part 2. I mentioned the Part 1 a few weeks ago, talking about Paul's conversion. We know that Paul was a great persecutor, great in the sense that he went all out to persecute the Christians, and not only in Jerusalem, but also to other parts of the world, to Damascus. And on his way to Damascus, the Lord Jesus Christ stopped him. The Lord revealed to him in a glorious light and spoke to him. And when he saw the light and heard the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was repented and converted. And then the Lord told Ananias to help him in the Christian faith and give him a commission to do his work. And today, I'm continuing from there. Now, this topic is based on Hebrews chapter 1, the heroes of faith. All right, so I lengthen it to see various people, how they exercise their Christian faith. And Paul, of course, is the one that we want to learn because he has done a lot of work for the Lord. And we want to see about his faith, how he did his work. Now, after his conversion, Paul wasted no time in launching out his ministry of preaching and teaching the Word of God. And in Acts chapter 9, verses 20 to 22 tells us this. I read to you, Acts 9, 20 to 22. And here says, "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he," that means Jesus Christ, "is the Son of God. But that all heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which call on this name in Jerusalem and came thither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest?" So the people were amazed. You see, and verse 22, "But Saul," or Paul, "increased more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ." No matter what the people think about, he still preached the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Jews were shocked and surprised at his preaching. See, they expected him to arrest Christians and put them in prison, not proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord in the synagogue. But the more they reasoned, Saul was full of zeal in preaching the gospel. Nothing could stop him from the preaching of the Word of God, preaching the gospel. Now that Saul knew who Jesus was, he could combine his experience with the Lord Jesus Christ on his way to Damascus and his knowledge of the Old Testament to present that Christ or Jesus was truly the Messiah. Then Saul took some time off, about 3 years, and went to Arabia to learn more from the Lord Jesus Christ for his ministry. You see, he needs to be trained. Every one of us, we need to be trained. We cannot just stand up and preach. There's no way. And here, Saul did the same thing. Which part of Arabia, we do not know. What he encountered and what he did there, we were not told in the scripture, but we know it was a conference with God, especially in Galatians chapter 1, verse 16 to 17 tells us that. He was there to equip himself for the ministry of Christ. When Saul returned to Damascus, his preaching was more powerful than before, which caused the Jews to turn against him and wanted to kill him. And Acts chapter 9, verse 25 tells us this. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And then from Damascus, Paul also made his way to Jerusalem. When he arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to affiliate with the other apostles. But what happened? Acts chapter 9, verse 26 tells us, but they were all afraid of him. They all know who was Paul, the one who persecuted the Christian. And now, he came to them. And it was Barnabas who took him and brought him to the apostles. And that he was finally accepted by the church in Jerusalem. Then Paul started his preaching to the Jews. His bold preaching stirred up opposition from the Hellenistic Jews. That is, Jews which only speak Greek and not the Hebrew language. The Jews plotted to kill him. When the church learned of their plot to kill Paul, the members made sure that he could escape again. This time, Paul went to Caesarea and returned to his hometown of Tarsus. So he went home. Then Paul was off the center stage for a few years. That means but he was far from inactive. He was still serving the Lord in various ways. And we know this. Undoubtedly, he was obeying the will of God and planting churches in various locations, various parts of Asia. We learn this from the book of Acts, chapter 13 onwards to the end of chapter 28, where he went around three missionary journeys planting all the churches. That was the beginning of his period of influence on the New Testament church, during which Paul recorded and implemented divine principle for ministry. Now, these are something very important. Those principles are still God's standard for churches and believers today. As his word in the epistles and even in the book of Acts so clearly indicated. And from now on, I'm going to talk about Paul's view of his ministry. If we learn this well, we will know how to run the church, not according to man's wisdom, but according to what the Bible teaches. Because that is the thing, the principle God used Paul to lay down for the churches. Paul's success was not based on his methodology. It was not based on that. His successful ministry was based on his devotion to God's word, to God's truth. Based on his spiritual character, based on his service to God, based on the example he set for others to follow. See, that's very important. A preacher is not just preaching the word of God. Every part of his life is a message to the people. And this is what Paul was doing in his ministry. He was fully committed to the principle of leadership by examples. There are many Bible verses I have. I do not want to mention all. Perhaps Acts chapter 20, verse 17 to 24 contains the detail regarding Paul's view concerning his ministry. I will expound more just on these few verses, 17 to 24, Acts chapter 20. Now, his focus was on the right attitudes to four areas. We might have a right attitude in four areas. First of all, attitude towards God, the church, the lost, and to himself. Four areas. If these attitudes are right and according to God's will, the foundation will be established for any servant of Christ to have a successful ministry. Let's look at the first attitude, the attitude of service towards God. We want to serve God. What should our attitude be? Paul often refers himself as a born servant of Jesus Christ. You can find this in most of his writing in the book of Romans, Galatians, Colossians, and also the book of Titus. All mentioned about he's a servant of Christ, servant of Christ. Now, why did Paul address himself as a born servant? Why? Why it is so? Paul knew that a servant of the Lord would serve God in humility. Because a servant is not greater than his master. And he acknowledged that truth to the Ephesian elders. Ephesian elders. Okay, let's turn to Acts chapter 20, verses 18 and 19. I read to you 18 and 19, part of this. Acts chapter 20, verse 18, he said to them, I have been with you at all season, serving the Lord with what? With all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptation. All right, let's stop here for a while. He often expressed his humility in other epistles, as I mentioned before. For example, he said to the Corinthians, you know what he says? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, he said this word, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. See, to the Corinthian Christian, he said, no, don't think of yourself so great. See, God is great. We always think of him. In addition to humility, Paul said that any servant of Christ must be willing to what? To suffer for his sake, for God's sake. So all the servant of God must be willing to suffer for God's sake. Not that we go into it by our own self. No. If that thing come, we have to accept it. We have already seen that he had experienced persecution in his early Christian life. That's already, we have seen that, just as I mentioned. Two times. One in Damascus, right? He preached. And then what happened? The Jews in Damascus wanted to kill him. And he escaped. The second time, where? Jerusalem. Persecution again. And the members, the believer, helped him to escape. In Acts chapter 20, verse 19, he mentioned two specific ways in which suffering comes to the true servant, the true servant of God. Verse 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptation which befell me by the laying in the weight of the Jews. With many tears. Refer to internal suffering. The grief and the pain that he felt whenever God was dishonored. There are three realities that cause Paul to shed tears in his ministry. Number one, the condition of the lost. When you see the people that refuse to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, he was so grieved, so sad. And we know it. How do we know? In Romans chapter 9, verse 2 and 3, he talks about his own countrymen, the Jews. He said that, verse 2, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. You know what Paul said? It was very sad that the Jews refused to believe. In fact, I'm willing to suffer even if I go to hell, if they can go to heaven. See, the kind of grief, sadness he had for those who are lost. So the first kind. Secondly, the weak believers. Those who are weak, those who refuse to grow in Christian life, Paul feel very sad. He expressed his concern for such brethren, especially at Corinth. Corinth, the church where the believers refuse to grow, they create a lot of problems. And therefore, Paul wrote to them and say, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, he said, for I wrote to you out of much affliction and anguish of heart and with many tears. You see, more feel very sad when believers are not growing. I think this is natural for a person, a servant of God who loves the church. He wants the church to grow, more members, more people come to Christ, and when members are not growing, feel sad. But Paul feel very sad. Thirdly, Paul was very sad, shedding tears, because of the threat of the false teacher. He had to deal with the external suffering, not only internal suffering, but also the external suffering. Much of his suffering came from the plots of the Jews against him. Wherever he goes, there's obstacle. Wherever there's go, there's someone to stop him from preaching the gospel. Do you still want to serve the Lord in that way? Not only stop you, but want to kill you. I tell you, if you truly serve the Lord sent to that place, this is often happened in many servants of the Lord. I went to Thailand, same thing. A lot of obstacle. Every step you take, there's obstacle. Not just problem, but serious problem. But you know the Lord wants you to do, continue. And that's what Paul did. So in defending the integrity of his ministry to the Corinthians, he mentioned the suffering he had to endure. In fact, he had suffered a lot. None of us can compare with him. And he mentioned to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 to 28. Many kinds of suffering. And I have no time to read to you the whole passage here because the message is quite long. He had been beaten, he had went through shipwreck, and he often met with robbers, and so many, many things he suffered in his ministry, in his traveling, his preaching of the word of God. You can read for yourself. Paul certainly demonstrates that the genuine measure of a faithful minister for Christ is whether or not he has his focus solely on praising God. No matter what happened to him, he wants to praise the Lord. He wants to praise the Lord. He focused on God himself. Likewise, a faithful servant will be willing to serve humbly and to endure persecution from those who oppose the truth. All right, this is the first attitude that Paul had towards God. Number two, the attitude regarding instruction towards the church. Paul knew that his ministry to the church was mainly a teaching ministry. That's why he reminded the Ephesian Christians that he did not withhold anything that was profitable unto you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Acts 20, verse 20. And not only that, he imparted all of God's wise counsel and anything that was profitable to the believers and would build up their Christian life. In other words, Paul went to the place, evangelized when people coming in to believe in Christ. He did not travel to another place. He stayed there for a season. He went house to house conducting Bible studies, teaching them and asking them to bring your friend in, and then he witnessed to the friend. That's how he does his work. Is it? Faithfully building up the believers. And he did not preach what he liked. He preached those things that will help the believers to grow according to their needs. What will be profitable to them, not profitable to the preacher. So this is Paul's way of ministering the word of God. In his preaching, in his teaching ministry, he played no favorites. No favorites. He boldly confronted anyone as needed when he compromised scriptural truth. When Peter was wrong in certain way, refused to mix with other Christian, Paul questioned him. Barnabas, the same thing. So Paul was not afraid of anyone. He would confront anyone who were wrong. Who was wrong. And when he commanded Timothy, what did his command to Timothy? Listen to this. 2 Timothy 4:12. 2 Timothy 4:12. He said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Now I want you to take note is this. Paul asked Timothy, not only teaching the word of God, reprove and to rebuke. Why he must say that? Because this is his experience in the ministry of God. And Timothy was young at that time. Anyone, you must be faithful to the word of God. What is wrong, you must say. Don't worry who they are. And so, Paul instructed Timothy to do that. And exhort with long suffering. Teach the word of God with long suffering. You may teach, but the people do not want to hear. Or refuse to hear, but love my, be patient, continue to teach them with long suffering, you see. He was speaking from experience to Timothy. Therefore, he set example for Timothy to follow. So Paul was a faithful servant of Christ. He always proclaimed the entire spectrum of truth from God's word. He made sure that his teaching was fully accurate and in accordance to the word of God. He really made his study carefully, make sure everything is correct before he preached. He would not just stand and just talk. No. Paul was very serious, very careful in his preaching of the word of God. That is the second thing about Paul's ministry. Thirdly, the attitude regarding evangelism to the lost. Paul remembered the commission given to him by the Lord Jesus Christ during his conversion. Do you all remember that? That God wanted him to witness to the people, not only to common people, but to the Gentiles, to the king, and to all these people. And that is the work that God, that Christ has committed and trusted to him. And therefore, he had great burden for those who did not know Christ. His presentation of the gospel clearly emphasized the grace of God. You can see from the book of Romans, from Ephesians, the grace of God is emphasized concerning salvation. And when it comes to the gospel, there is only one condition for salvation. One condition for salvation. Personal faith in Christ alone as Savior. is the one and only condition for salvation. There are many passages in the New Testament that teaches faith alone, in Christ alone. And this is the only human requirement of receiving eternal life. Now, to be sure, there are other essentials that a sinner must know before he can be saved, right? There are other essentials. For example, the person must first hear the gospel. Then the possibility of believing is there. And not only that, the person must truly believe. Believe what? He is a guilty sinner. He must truly believe the wages of sin is death. He must believe that Christ died in the sinner's place. The sinner must trust Christ alone as his sin bearer. Now, these are the essentials of the gospel. Yet, merely knowledge of them does not bring salvation or new birth to the person. Only at the point of the personal reception and the acceptance of Christ alone as Savior by the working of the Holy Spirit does the guilty sinners be born again and accepted into God's family. So the person must truly accept Christ, as know his own sin, accept Christ as his personal Savior. Now, there's one issue here I want to mention concerning the gospel here. Some include repentance in addition to faith in the gospel to reduce the number of easy believism. Right, some of them include that. Easy believism refers to those Christians who accept Christ, but whose life reveals no commitment, no fruit, no obedience to the church. This can refer to describe many nominal Christian or carnal Christian. We can see this in the church. In many churches, many people just want to believe in Jesus Christ for one reason, so they can go to heaven. And the rest of his life, he wants to be the Lord of his own life. See, so far I have a place in heaven to do. The rest I want to do things in my own way. And therefore, there's no fruit in their Christian life. And so, because of this, we must understand what is the whole gospel. Now, the word repentance means a change of mind and a change of purpose. A U-turn. I call it a U-turn. In the past, you worked towards all the sin, the world, the pressure of the world, and so forth, towards destruction. And when you hear the gospel, you repent. What does that mean? You change your direction, make a U-turn back to God. All right? A U-turn back to God. So repentance is that. Now, because of the confusion described above concerning believism, many make repentance as a separate and additional condition of salvation. There is no doubt that repentance is necessary for salvation. There's no doubt at all. However, we must know what is recorded in the scripture. What is the scripture view concerning repentance? We must know this. The scripture views repentance as inclusive in believing. These two things go hand in hand. And not as additional or separate condition to faith. Not as that at all. All those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior would have changed their mind regarding Him and their sin. If they have not returned, they would not accept Christ as their Savior. Now, this is, in those days, they are of that kind. According to the scripture usage, repentance It is almost as synonyms for faith. Repentance and faith, they are similar. Paul told the Ephesian elders to testify, all right, Acts chapter 20, verse 21. What did he say to the elders? Both to the Jews, to the Greek, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. How does a person receive his salvation? Well, the Holy Spirit used the facts of the scripture, as I mentioned before, and caused the sinner to change his mind about himself, his sin, and to turn to the Savior. That is repentance, right? That's repentance. At the same time, the Holy Spirit showed him the needs of trusting Christ for salvation. That is faith in Christ. So, in repentance, the sinner turns from himself and his sin towards God. In faith, the sinner turns to the Savior for salvation. The two things, faith and repentance, work hand in hand. Work hand in hand. The two work together and they are one. And I believe they cannot be separated. Paul also used various words as expression of saving faith in Christ. Not only just it, there are other words of saving faith in Christ. To the Roman Christian, he stated the full content of the gospel of salvation. The full content of the gospel of salvation in his preaching. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 10 and 13. Alright, I go to you through these verses. Alright, Paul told the Roman Christian, he said, the word of faith which we preach, that means the gospel that he preached to the people. Alright, verse 9, what was that about? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Alright, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, what do you learn here? Paul used various words, confession, believe, confession, and call are various expressions of a person's faith in Christ for salvation. Right? They use different terms, but means the same thing for salvation. Why did Paul miss out repentance in the preaching here? Why did Paul miss out? You know why? The reason is very simple. Repentance is in the believing. It's inside, inclusive of it. It's inclusive of it. Faith and repentance go hand in hand. They are one. It is the working of the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul was a faithful servant of Christ, and he was a faithful herald, preaching the gospel of Christ to the lost sinners. Then he taught the believers the word of God and established them in the faith. Now, this was what he did. He went around, he preaching to them about the gospel of Christ. Fourthly, Paul's attitudes regarding his own life. Acts chapter 20. Paul's attitude of servanthood in the Lord's ministry. First of all, he was single-minded and dedicated to the call as an apostle. Acts 20, 22 tells us that he was determined to go to Jerusalem. And the Holy Spirit said, you don't go. You go there, you will suffer. You will be persecuted. The Jews are all waiting for you, going to arrest you, put you in the prison, or to kill you. The Jews warned Paul not to go. The Holy Spirit warned Paul not to go. What did Paul say? Because he was so committed to the Great Commission that he was compelled to continue his journey to Jerusalem. He still go. he still go, even though he knew the danger. He demonstrated his genuine sacrificial attitude in his ministry. You see? The only thing that matters to him was to fulfilling the apostolic mission. And this is what he said. This is what he said in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. What he says, I do not account my life in any value, nor as precious to myself. My life not important. That's what he says here. If only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from who? From the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace of God. That's what matters him the most. Life not important. But what I want is I want to preach the gospel to the people. So Paul went to Jerusalem because of that. When he compared God's word and what happened to his life was not important. Another area. The focal point of his message was the gospel of grace. And Paul truly walked in the footsteps of faith in his entire Christian life. He carried out his ministry to the end in spite of all kinds of obstacles, problem, obstruction, he still continued his work. And as he approached death, he told Timothy these words. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. What did he say? I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept my faith. And when he entered the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what will happen? No doubt, the Lord Jesus will say to Paul, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I believe the Lord will say this. Dearly beloved, dear Christians, this should be the goal of every believer, every servant of God, including myself, to hear these words when we enter into heaven. What do you want to hear when you enter heaven? Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Isn't it? I want to hear that. I believe you all want to hear that. You see? This is should be our goal when we live on earth. Not just go to heaven and enjoy eternal. That's not enough. That's not what God wants you to do. You are smart, but God is smarter. You see? That's not what God wants you to do. For us to aim anything less is unworthy of the Lord. You see? So let us, my friend, beloved, dearly beloved, press on in our ministry for Christ and serve Him faithfully. If you are not serving, let us serve Him faithfully until we see the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope Paul, what Paul has said in his ministry, in his word, will be our example in the things that we do for the Lord, in our ministry for the Lord. And the Lord will bless us. And I hope this to be the case in any church. In my church in Jurong, I, as a pastor there, I try my very best to follow the principle of the Apostle Paul. That's why we are very strong in the teaching of the Word of God. Not only Sunday preaching, not only Bible study, but we provide materials for them to do the work. We have daily manner, you all have it. Apart from that, I've written quite a lot of books helping them to in their Bible studies. In the adult Sunday school, we have been for the 5 years course throughout the whole scripture, doctrine, Christian life, so many things. Why? Hopefully, they will grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. I thank God many of them, after certain years, they are able even to bless others with the writing from daily manner. You know, daily manner are written not just by pastor, mostly by believers. Do you know that? By believers. And when I visited their home, I saw they have a lot of books, a lot of Christian book commentaries and so forth. They really study hard and they are being blessed. So I hope this will be the encouragement to the church here. When you have a pastor, take this as a measurement. Not anyone will do. And the Lord will bless you. The Lord will bless you. I believe those who follow the principle of the Bible, the Lord will bless. Because this is what God wants us to do in His work. So let us press on. Press on to do His work.